Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here in American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, with the fellas affectionately known as J-Squared. Mr. Jeff Reed on my left, Jay Tross on my right, and we are excited to bring you another edition of the Hamilton Corner. As a reminder, for all of you in the Baton Rouge, Louisiana area, I will be there June 3rd through the 5th. I'll be there on Sunday, June 3rd, to participate in the Louisiana Family Forum's Leadership Institute. Make sure I have that right. Absolutely. And so we will have a great time of sharing with some of Louisiana's best and brightest young people from ages 16 to 25, I believe is the age range, preparing them to launch out into their destinies, providing a biblical worldview training, some intensive study to orient them to a biblical worldview and applying that biblical worldview in the political processes. You'll have some state legislators there and some other people that are there, and there's still time. I believe there's still time for you to sign up. So it is the Louisiana Family Forum's Leadership Academy. I said that wrong initially. Leadership Academy, June 3rd through June 5th in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Go to lafamilyforum.org. That's lafamilyforum.org for more information. And as usual, one of the great things I love to do is to be able to meet members of the body of Christ all across the country, and particularly those who listen to this program, and hug some necks. And it is an encouraging time for me because, you know, in trudging, seem like we're swimming upstream. You can often feel like, you know, you're the Lone Ranger out here. But it's often good to connect with those who are like-minded and to show, hey, man, there's 7,000 who haven't bowed their knee to Baal nor kissed his face. So that is something that I personally enjoy doing. So I look forward to seeing you there. I already got some messages from some people that I know who will be there. And it's always a pleasure for me to return to my home state. So I'm looking forward to doing that. Well, we're going to begin the program in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture. And I can hear my son, Daddy, you always say that. I do. I know it. But it is one of my favorite passages of scripture. And it concerns the prodigal son. And there's much that has been written, that has been said about the prodigal son. But the thing that stands out to me most in this particular portion of scripture is not the son exclusively, but the heart and the character of the father. So I wanted just to dig into that a little bit and just to share with you a little bit that's been on my heart in this particular endeavor. So here we go. I'll read it first and I'll dig into it and unpack it just a little bit. So here we go. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And then let me remind you this, that the Gospel of Luke was actually written by Luke the physician. You know, and I say that because the Great Commission literally is for Christ's followers to fill every lane, every venue of society, and from that perch shine the light of Christ. So I think it's important to point out that here you have a physician. Makes me think about one I know named Jonathan. There's a physician who from his perch utilize the gifts that God has given him. And in fact, Luke is the same one who wrote the book of Acts when he says that I sought to put together for you, O Theophilus, an orderly account of Jesus' life. So he's literally using his gift, his mental capacity as a physician to give an articulate communication of the gospel. Man, I find that to be fascinating and absolutely instructive for our time, because when we're talking about ministry, we are not talking about limiting that understanding to pulpit biblical exposition. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, congratulations, you have been called into ministry. So I just think it's important to point that out as often as we get the opportunity to do so. But here we go. Verse 11 from Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. I guess I should say this as well. Part of the reason why Luke's gospel met canonical muster, satisfied canonical muster, is because Luke was a contemporary of the Apostle Paul. The line of demarcation for accepting scripture as canonical, writings as canonical, was the relationship between the writers themselves and the apostles whom Jesus called. If there's no connection there, no access for the writings. All right? So Dr. Luke's connection is through Apostle Paul. Okay, here we go. And he said, verse 11, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my share of the property. Give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods, or the King James here says husks, that the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Oh, there's so much here. And I just stopped here. I could spend the whole program going through this particular chapter. But right off the bat, you have the presentation. Because of the audience that Jesus is speaking to at this moment, it's clear that the communication is that this family consists of a Jewish family. The father and his two sons, they are a Jewish family. And instead of waiting for the succession, is the Louisiana term, or the estates, transition from the father to the sons, the younger son demanded his property immediately. And so in verse 13, for example, when it says, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, the communication here is clearly that the property that would have been bequeathed to this younger son, the younger son gets legal title to it and ends up converting the existing value of the property into currency, which right off the bat gives you an indication, in addition to his preemptive demand of his property, gives you an indication of his lack of fiscal wisdom. Because, for example, like with real estate and real property, normally those things appreciate in value over time. So the son demanding title to it immediately and to exchange it for monetary value at that moment gives you another indication. Not only is he rash, but he doesn't have the fiscal wisdom to understand the value of this property would increase over time. All right? But going further. Then it says that he journeys into a far country, which gives the indication that he is leaving a territory primarily populated by a Jewish population into a one largely populated by Gentiles. How do I know that? Because when he goes there, when the famine hits, he seeks to find refuge amongst a company that is farming with pigs. In the Jewish understanding, pigs are unclean animals. You wouldn't have found many of them farming them in a similar fashion. And then to give you an indication as to how desperate his condition had become, the young man longs to be fed with the things that are used to feed these unclean animals. Homeboy's condition is desperate. It is desperate. And as he's longing to be fed with this food that is provided for unclean animals, the Bible says he comes to himself. He comes to himself. And just so I can make sure I get to what I want to get to, I'm going to just kind of paraphrase some of these other things to where he recognizes his error. There's a communication in scripture of the brokenness in his heart, the contrition in his heart, so much so where he rehearses the speech he's going to provide for his father. I have sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I have sinned against heaven and before you. And don't even treat me like a son. Just let me be one of your hired servants. So he rehearses this speech of contrition. Oh, but then the Bible tells us in verse 20, and this is Jesus talking, that when he arose to come to his father, oh, God. The Bible records that while this young man is yet a long way off, his father notices him and begins to run to him. You get from that the true understanding that every day young Buck was away, daddy was longing for his return, straining to see, is this the day that my boy comes back? Is my boy coming back to me with a heart that is yearning to be joined to his son that has gone astray? That shows that in spite of the foolishness of the heart of his young son and the horrible course of life he had taken, the father's love had never changed. Had never changed for his young son. And Jesus is explicit in mentioning. It's not, he doesn't wait for the boy to get close. While he's far off, daddy comes a running toward him. Daddy comes running to him. And when daddy and young son meet, son begins to start his speech. And the Bible is explicit in showing that the daddy interrupts the speech. Doesn't even allow him to finish it. While he's expressing his contrition, daddy yells out to his servants, bring a robe, kill the fatted calf, put a ring on his finger, put some shoes on his feet, that the love of the father has not changed. And this is what I want to hone in on today. That when you evaluate the world's religions, you'll find that Christianity alone is exclusive in the presentation of salvation as a free gift. The son doesn't do anything. The son hasn't changed his condition in life that would now make him worthy to receive the father's love. He has returned in the same brokenness that he was living in while he was in the far off country. But yet, while he's still broken, daddy interrupts his speech to kill the fatted calf. Let's start the celebration. Put the robe on him. Put the ring on his finger. Put the shoes on his feet. In Islam, it doesn't work that way. In Islam, you have to work and hope at the end of your life that your good deeds have outweighed the bad in order to access paradise. In Hinduism, same thing. With the understanding of karma and reincarnation, it's a works-based employ in order to win and gain something. Buddhism, the same thing. Hope my good outweighs my bad. Christianity is the only faith where salvation and access to eternal life is not the product of your works. It is the free gift, to where we come very similar to the young man. Many of us have made a mess of our lives, have wrecked our lives in many ways. And the father says, oh, you don't have to perform. Just come. Just come. You don't have to hope that, you know, you have two cups, one good cup and one bad cup, and hope and wish and pray and hope and wish and hope and wish and hope and wish that your good cup has more contents in it than your bad cup. That's how it is in all the other religions. But in Christianity, salvation is a free gift. Salvation is the free gift of God and not the product of works in which any man could boast. It is solely because of what Jesus has secured for us that we get access into eternal life. And so if you're listening to me today and you are flirting with the idea of embracing another religion or another faith, I would urge you to take another look at Christianity, because it is the only theological source where your access into eternity is not based on your own performance. And I don't know about you, but that's good news to me, because I know who I am. I know if it was up to Abe would knock the bottom out of hell. But oh, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. And just as the door of salvation was open to me, and as Jesus communicated in his prodigal son account, I encourage you to just come to Papa. Come back home. You don't have to perform. Just come. Satan would deceive you into thinking you have to clean yourself up. Just come, and he will be the cleaner.
God's Heart for Israel. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. I just returned from Israel with another incredible Covenant Journey group. I have been there so many times, leading trips of Christian college students with leadership potential. However, every time I go, I realize why this small but mighty country has God's heart. And He touches a new part of my heart each time. Israel is such an incredible nation. If you've never been there, I especially encourage you to see our original TV series, Why Israel Matters. The 13-segment series shows the ancient and modern challenges that Israel faces. You will gain a deeper understanding of the history of the Jewish people and their land. And it puts recent events in perspective. Watch it on our website at lc.org and learn more about how you can come with us on our next trip to Israel by going to Liberty Counsel's webpage, lc.org, or our affiliated ministry, Christians in Defense of Israel. That's cidisrael.org.
Okay, here's the big question with regard to any big decision. Is this going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Yeah, but does it actually work? So did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful. But then his wife needed emergency surgery. The bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared. And the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works. And it's so easy to get your questions answered. Why not? You can call right now. Just hit *345. That's *345. *345.
This is Tim Armstrong from the Worthy Walk radio program. I encourage you to listen as we work verse by verse through the scriptures each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Time here on American Family Radio. Join me as we explore the Word of God and learn to apply its truths to our lives each day. The Worthy Walk radio program, Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Central Time on American Family Radio.
Exposing Washington with Walker Wildman.
So who is responsible for the dysfunction in Washington? That's what we're going to be discussing today.
We have become one of the most litigious societies on the planet.
The goal of this show is to bring clarity to the news coming out of Washington, D.C., and to expose the deception that has plagued our nation's capital for decades.
Exposing Washington.
Each Saturday at 2:30 p.m. Central.
On American Family Radio. Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountain to the prairie to the ocean, wide with home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I played that for you because that was the voice of 99-year-old World War II veteran Raymond T. Orr, who was invited to sing God Bless America during the seventh inning stretch of a minor league baseball game in Pennsylvania. Yesterday was Military Appreciation Night, a day after we observed the Memorial Day holiday, where Raymond Orr was a member of the U.S. Army's 29th Infantry Division, who landed on Omaha Beach the day following D-Day. He was invited to sing God Bless America. And that just warmed my heart. So I just wanted to share that with you. 99 years strong, singing God Bless America. And I daily cry out to the Lord that He may bless the United States of America. But I'm not, it's not lost on me that the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. So as we seek for the Lord's blessings on our country, we must also make sure, first and foremost, that we are living according to the dictates of the scripture, and that we are advocating for others to become members of the family of God. Well, so I hope that warmed your heart the same way it warmed my heart. Well, I'm going to weigh in now a little bit on this Roseanne Barr brouhaha. And I'm going to start off by saying that it is puzzling to me, how many conservatives want to fight to defend Roseanne. Because if you remember, on this very program, I attempted to warn everybody, be very careful about hitching the proverbial conservative wagon to Roseanne Barr, because she is, first of all, she is not, it doesn't appear to be, I could be wrong, but it doesn't appear to be to me that she is a Christian. Second of all, it is patently obvious to me that she is not conservative. So I'll state right out of the gate that you tell me Roseanne was canned, I go, doesn't really move me at all. And I know that there are lots of people who are concerned because Roseanne's character was a Trump supporter and all of that. And to me, that really is not relevant to me, quite frankly. I could care less. If you are representing views and values that are first and foremost hostile to scripture, destructive for our country, and that are regressive, then I'm not going to support you. I don't feel anything, you know. And the comments that she spewed were grotesque. Now, if you want to have a conversation about whether or not our culture's gotten too soft and to where, you know, freedom of speech is being curtailed, that's another conversation. But I don't think that is the main thrust of what is happening in this particular moment. And I would add that if you will attempt to ignore some of the historical realities of the comparisons of people to apes and things of that nature, that I just want to encourage you, if you're unaware of it, to do a little research. But my initial response, I'm going to share with you guys my initial knee-jerk reaction when I heard that Roseanne talked about Valerie Jarrett, you know, and comparing her to an ape and or Planet of the Apes or whatever, and she getting canned. I was like, oh, so we firing people? That's what we doing now? Oh, well, I got a whole list of people that need to be fired. Let's start off with Samuel Morton and Charles Darwin. How about that? Samuel Morton and Charles Darwin are some of the primary progenitors of the idea that you had subhuman species that were not quite human, right? So if we're going to fire Roseanne, are we going to fire macroevolutionary theory from Darwin in our textbooks in our schools? And are we going to purge these theories that are being shoved down our children's throats that, oh, by the way, man was an amoeba, then he was a fish, then he was a monkey, then he became a man? Are we going to fire them? Are we going to fire Hegel with this Hegelian dialectic that was based on similar ideology? Are we going to fire Saul Alinsky? Are we going to fire John Maynard Keynes and his ideas that are based on Darwinism? Are we going to get rid of the Fabian socialists that are based on these same ideas, Karl Marx and his embrace of some of these racist sentiments?
Margaret Sanger.
Are we gonna get rid of Margaret Sanger and her penchant for referring to people as human weeds? I mean, since we are as a society, right, up in arms about Roseanne, and I would suggest rightfully so, all right, about conversations that are attributing human character, or should I say, that are comparing human beings to ape-like characters. Let's go the whole boat, shall we? I mean, let's have a conversation on this thing. Since we firing folks, let's get rid of them all. Amen. You shouldn't be comparing people to apes. You're daggone Skippy. Neither should you, Charles. Looking at you, Darwin. Neither should you, teachers lobby that fights against the teachers' teaching of creationism alongside macroevolutionary theory. I wonder why they don't want them tossed side by side if we're on a quest to learn. Especially since we had a moment to where we can come together as a society and rebuke comparisons of people to apes. Let's do it. Samuel Morton built his scientific library on digging up old skulls and comparing them to apes. Darwin's theory led to the consistent testing of people with darker skin saying, well, they can take more pain because they're not quite human. The entire population of Aborigines were experimented upon among the same ideology. So if we're going to decry it, let's go the whole boat. Let's not play tiddlywinks with it. Let's do the whole thing. But you know they don't want to do that, you see. Because for them, it's all about politics. It's not about truth. It's not about truth. Because if it was about truth, we'll go the whole road. We'll go the whole way. Which I suggest we should do it. Let's do it. Let's take this as an opportunity, especially those of us who are Christians. And those of us, or primarily those of us who are Christians. And say yes, because human beings are a unique specification of God's created order, far above that of animal kind. That human beings are made in the likeness and image of God. Let's use this as a moment to affirm the Imago Dei and human beings and use it to demand that, yes, we stop comparing human beings to animals and starting in our schools. I contend if we reaffirm the inherent dignity in mankind based on being bearers of God's image, that's one of the best ways we can respond to this apparent barrage, or should I say not barrage, but this increase in shootings in our school system. Because if we continue to tell children that, oh, you're just a product of random chance, you're just stardust, star stuff, you're really nothing, there's really nothing significant about you or your life, then their immediate response is, well, why should I care about Johnny and Jenny? If I ain't nothing, who is Johnny and Jenny? Yet because of this inconsistent Morgan worldview, we end up in these inconsistent positions. You know, again, I'm not sad to see her show that, you know, spews smut about transgender children and support for killing babies in the womb and support for all things regressive on television. I'm not sad that that's off. That's not even a blip on my radar. Let me check. Nope, not on my radar. Not there. But since we're going to talk about the inherent transcendence of humankind as distinct from animals, well, let's do it. Let's do it. And understand the long history of these ethnocentric partiality being displayed by this so-called scientific community. I would call it pseudoscience because they're finally waking up, realizing a race is a made-up construct. It's not a scientific label. It's manufactured. Let's not deny the fact that people with skin colors like mine have been, you know, maimed, experimented on, and all these kind of things because they would say, yeah, they're ape-like. Ooh, they can take it. Come on, we can't deny that. But since we're talking about the conversation, you know, it's kind of like David. You know, I didn't show up to slay giants, but while we're on the subject, you know. I didn't come here to mess up your whole Darwinian evolutionary scale or whatever you want to call it. But while we're on the subject of people not being like apes, let's have the conversation. Point number two I want to make, and I'm loaded on this one with clips. If we're going to be consistent, let's be consistent. Because what you'll find is that the reason for the swift hook, you know, like Sandman on the Apollo for Roseanne, which again, hey, I'm glad the show is gone. Goodbye. Peace. No problems with me. Since we're gonna bring out the hook, I wonder why we don't see similar hooks to other people who refer to other people as animals. Let's play clip number two, shall we, Jason?
I'm Keith Olbermann, and this is The Resistance. It was a speech to a group of self-servatives, and he said it with the extraordinary self-satisfaction that has been the only constant in these 9 months of America held hostage. I don't have a schedule, Trump said, but if I did have a schedule, I would say we are substantially ahead of schedule. Trump is indeed crazy. I'm setting aside policy for a moment because as mindless and as evil as the baboon's policy
pause that for a second. Did he just say baboon? Did I hear that? Mr. Reed, did he just say baboon? Yes. Mr. Charles, did he just call him a baboon? Now, you might be asking, well, Abraham, why are you playing that? And I'm glad you asked that question, even though you didn't really ask the question. Because while ABC, which, by the way, is owned by Disney, has given Roseanne the hook, they just hired Keith Olbermann back at ESPN. Now, if we really are up in arms about people being referred to as baboons and ape-like creatures, then why would ESPN, which is owned by Disney, hire Keith Olbermann? Seems to me that tolerance, as it's popularly described, is once again being displayed as a one-way street. Go ahead and play that again, please.
I'm setting aside policy for a moment because as mindless and as evil as the baboon's policy is, it can and will be rolled back sooner or later. And his policies all hang together if you just keep asking yourself, what would have happened here in this country if the Germans had won World War II? I'm talking about the man himself now. His brain does not work correctly. There is a myriad of possible explanations, and we have hit them all here. Congenital disease, drug use, any of a dozen post-concussion traumas, Alzheimer's, senility, lack of common sense, lack of awareness of things in the world besides himself, and endless specific emotional or psychological or intellectual incapacities, or all of these things at the same time.
Now, it seems to me that using Exhibit A, Mr. Olbermann, you know, and I have more audio, I may not get to it all. It seems to me that the issue is not referring to people as baboons. It seems to me that it's something wholly other. And again, the thing I find most remarkable in this, that the very people who want to force feed me and my children, if I were to let them get their grubby hands on them, that people descend from apes, these are the ones that are the most up in arms about this. I think I need a bell for that one. Yes. Yes. Not to be outdone. Because, of course, you know, one of the producers and writers on Roseanne's program was Wanda Sykes. And she had a few choice words to share that I would like to offer for your consideration. Go ahead and play clip number 3.
I couldn't believe that Donald Trump won. I couldn't believe that we have elected an orangutan to run the country. I couldn't believe it.
Oh.
They voted for an orangutan? This is ridiculous.
Sometimes. So Keith Olbermann, expletives, demeaning conduct, insults, the whole nine yards, accompanied by a baboon reference. And then Wanda Sykes. Orangutan, 2 times accompanied by expletives. It seemed to me that decorum and civility is not the touchstone of what ABC is concerned about. Because both of these people were hired in full view of these comments being espoused beforehand. But now all of a sudden, Wanda Sykes is like, oh, I cannot stand people that refer to others as orangutans and ape like creeps. Oh, wait, I did it myself. Oh, sorry. Come on, man. Y'all know what it is. And look, I have more. I probably saved this one for when we come back from the break. But that's some audio from Jimmy Kimmel. Isn't it amazing that it seems to be an enormous double standard? Because it seems that the only thing that really matters in determining whether or not you are eliminated from the public square is the perception of your political orientation. Because as long as you are lock stock with the herd that is Hollywood elitism, you're cool. I mean, can somebody tell me why The View is still on TV? I mean, I'm wondering. You know, Joy Behar? You know, because if you are a Christian, it's a mental disorder. You may have a mental disorder. You have a problem upstairs. Your elevator doesn't go all the way to the top. It's crazy, man. And y'all know it. I mean, most of you guys, you listen to the program, you already know that this whole tolerance thing, it's a one-way street. It's a one-way street. And the thing that I think that has provoked most people to a reflexive defense of Roseanne, which again, I think is unnecessary. I would never try to defend her. Her comments were despicable, in my opinion. You know, she opened her mouth, she got canned. Deal with it. You know, but the part of the reason why there's such a reaction is because what's happening amongst the regressive community, their objective is a seek and destroy mission. Their goal is to destroy all opinions that do not jive with theirs. So their tolerance really is not tolerance as is commonly understood. It really is, I'll tolerate your willingness to agree with me. And if you don't agree with me, then it's off with your proverbial and entertainment head.
Hi, this is Kirk Cameron, and I am honored to be partnering with the Ministry of Preborn and American Family Radio to help moms choose life.
Actor Kirk Cameron supports Preborn.
My four oldest children were adopted. That is because of caring and compassionate people who help those young mothers choose life. My wife is an adopted child, and her birth mother chose life for her. If it weren't for those caring individuals that help those young moms value the sacredness of life, I wouldn't have my wife, I wouldn't have my four adopted children, and the two natural born children that we have wouldn't exist either. My whole family is here because of people that are involved with ministries like Preborn.
Underwrite a free ultrasound and help save a baby's life. Go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say keyword baby. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
What happened to the Boy Scouts? This is David Wheaton, host of the Christian Worldview. Founded in 1910, the Boy Scouts is one of the largest youth organizations in America. Its aim is to train boys in, quote, moral character development, citizenship training, and development of physical, mental, and emotional fitness, unquote. Over the last decade, the Boy Scouts changed their moral standards to allow for homosexuality and transgenderism, and just recently became co-ed, even dropping the name boy from its name. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." The Boy Scouts is a sobering warning of drift when the Word of God is not the final authority. Hear more about the Boy Scouts at thechristianworldview.org. This weekend, Ken Ham joins us to discuss reaching this generation with the gospel.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next. Franklin Graham, the evangelist, is crisscrossing the state of California, hoping to mobilize Christian voters.
I'm encouraging pastors to become political activists. I want them to get involved. I'm not telling them how to vote, not telling them what party to belong to, but get out there and vote and be a spokesperson for God's standards and for moral issues that we face every day politically.
Mr. Graham was a guest on my nationally syndicated talk show. His bus tour across the Golden State has garnered the attention of the New York Times, calling him an evangelical Paul Revere.
I want pastors to encourage people from their congregations to run for office, get behind them, help fundraise for them.
Mr. Graham says the people of California are desperate for change, and that change can only happen by electing people of faith. I'm Todd Stearns.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Sometime at night, Paul Malone look up in the sky and say...
Let me set it up. Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. We will open the phone lines this segment, so if you would like to be a part of the program, you would like to weigh in on the conversations we're having thus far about the prodigal son and the love of a father, you want to talk about this whole Roseanne circumstance, you are welcome to call 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. And I'm going to go in a little bit more because I have some audio here that is from a video, actually, from Jimmy Kimmel before he even got the late night show gig. And if we're going to be sensitive to what's happening in the culture, that if we have these things, and again, Jimmy Kimmel was on ABC, which is the same company the Roseanne show was on, which is also owned by Disney, just like ESPN. So if there is this internal moral sensitivity and this unwillingness to stomach, you know, politically incorrect verbiage, I would offer this for your consideration. Prior to coming to ABC, Jimmy Kimmel was a part of this show called The Man Show or something like that. Never watched it. Don't know anything about it. But in my preparing for the show, I happened to come across not just an audio, but video of Jimmy Kimmel, who is dressed up in what can only be described as blackface, playing the role of Carl Malone, wearing the Utah Jazz jersey. And he not only is imitating Karl Malone's appearance, but he goes even further to mock his speech and cadence. I want you to listen to a little bit of this. Because if we really are the arbiters of moral discourse, tell me why you, ABC, are paying Jimmy Kimmel $15 million a year. Go ahead and play clip number 5.
Sometime at night, Karl Malone look up in sky and say, what the going on up there? Do UFO live on other planet, phoning home like E.T.? Karl Malone read on TV about white people getting deducted by aliens, sticking all kind of up their and that's a thing. Now, Karl Malone never seen no flying saucer himself, but if he do, that's going to be a spooky time. That's why Karl Malone say, government got to step up and give 102% to keeping them little green men off this here earth. Because the day them dudes stick something up Karl Malone, well, that ain't going to be no good time for nobody. Especially Karl Malone. Listen up, E.T. You better stay the back. Nanu, nanu. Until next time, this here Karl Malone.
Now, you want to talk about insensitive? He is clearly inferring that Karl Malone is an unintelligent man. Dressed up in full blackface. Minstrel show style. Yet ABC pays him $15 million a year. Now again, the reason why I'm highlighting this is to show the gross hypocrisy. The hypocrisy is not the entirety of the story. As I said before, we cannot ignore the long history of established subjugation of people as being less than human and comparing them to apes. We have a history in the country where the Irish were compared to ape-like creatures when they were being treated disparately in America. So to ignore that is to be woefully ignorant of the circumstances that are happening. But let's not fall into this idea that, oh, all of a sudden, ABC is such a pristine company where they're concerned about the moral approbation of our society. No, man. It's because she represented a Trump supporter that they canceled so quickly. Let's just be clear. And again, I have no problems with that. She opened her mouth. She has to deal with the consequences of what she did. But at a minimum, the hypocrisy should be evident. If you want to be a part of the program, you're welcome to call 888-589-8840. That number again is 888-589-8840. And I don't know how you feel, but I think this Karl Malone bit, that is way beyond the pale. But we'll go to the phone lines. First, we'll go to Indiana, where Kevin is on the line. Kevin, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hamilton. And as I told you before, I appreciate you being in my corner.
No problem, Kevin. Go right ahead.
All right. So the problem with Roseanne getting canned and allowing it to happen is that it was a dry run for what they ultimately want to do, which is to can Trump. And allowing them to run this maneuver and allowing them to lynch mob an individual because all she did was exercise her freedom of speech, which I think she has a wonderful case against ABC because they're violating that to a degree. But in allowing the resistance to do this, you're just empowering them for their big play.
How do you think there will make dangerous. How do you think this is analogous or attributable to a big play on Trump? Well, you have ABC, a private company, versus President Trump, who is the president of the United States. How do you see that being similar?
If you can as a group, right, and again as the resistance, I'll call them, if you can manipulate a big company, then that's a good day on the practice field for the day when you want to manipulate Congress into impeachment. Mm. And that's what ultimately, which doesn't make any sense to me to a degree, because I can't seem to get these people to understand, because they're so filled with hate, that if you impeach Trump, you get Pence. Where's the win?
Yeah.
Right? I can't even understand that. You think you're at odds with Trump. My gosh, wait till you put Pence in. I mean, the man keeps his halo in his back pocket.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Kevin, for your call and your comment. So let me respond first. I don't agree with you. I don't think that this was a product of a mob effort. ABC canned Roseanne immediately on their own initiative. Nobody really contacted ABC to get them to do it. It was really quickly done. Second of all, the canning of Roseanne or not canning Roseanne, I don't see that at all being related to Trump's impeachment, because the drums for Trump's impeachment were already beaten before Roseanne's show ever got on the air. So I don't see the connection there. And thirdly, and I've said this before, I don't think the true power players in the Democrat Party actually want to impeach President Trump, because they know, just as you rightly pointed out, I agree with you on this, that they know they would get Mike Pence as president. They don't want Mike Pence as president far more than they hate Donald Trump. What they want to do, and I've said this before, they want to continue to present themselves as if President Trump is so beyond the pale that they want to act as if he is impeachable, to simply use that as fodder for electoral fervor and to continue to draw passion amongst their base for voter turnout. They want to try to coalesce this ultimately into an electoral win in midterms, which, by the way, there are primary votes in multiple states. We're going to deal with that maybe tomorrow, next Tuesday on June 5th. They want to boil that into massive groundswell of support so that they can flip the House and hopefully the Senate in midterms and win the presidency in 2020. That is their ultimate play, in my opinion. I don't think they really want to impeach Trump, which is why you have many of the Democrat power brokers trying to tell Mad Maxine to stop talking about impeachment so much. That's not a winning play. They don't want to talk about impeachment because they know if they do talk impeachment, they face the real risk of energizing the Trump supporters. So I think they want to keep Trump in office, President Trump in office, and use him as a punching bag in order to gain political wins. I don't think they really want to impeach him. So again, I've said it and I said it again. I'm not concerned at all. I don't feel any loss for Roseanne's show being canned, because I think that actually her consistent presentation allows the regressives to redefine who conservatives are. Roseanne is not a conservative. Okay, so anyway, that's my response to that. But back to the phone lines we go, next to the great state of Texas, and I could say a lot more about in response to that, but I want to get some more callers in. But the great state of Texas, where Shelley is on the line. Shelley, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for accepting my call. First of all, I want to say that I love it when you pull out all the stops and just go ahead and connect the dots wherever they connect. There are very few people in the media who have the courage and the background and the understanding to do that. And so I really appreciate the fact that, yeah, if we're going to fire Roseanne Barr for calling people monkeys, mm-hmm. then we need to fire everybody who's using that bat
yes.
to beat people over the head, whether
yes.
it be our president or people of color.
Yes. It's
false. It's patently false. And Darwinism foisted on our culture that false understanding. And so, yeah, let's start with Roseanne and let's just keep on going down the line wherever
like
the dots connect.
I like it. I like it, Shelley. Thank you very much for your call and your comments. Yeah, let's go the whole lot. Let's go the whole way. Back to the phone lines we go, next to David in the home state, my home state of Louisiana. David, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Yeah, to show the hypocrisy of ABC, you know, we as taxpayers, Walt Disney receives grants, hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, for their theme parks. Now, if you remember, they just spent probably, I think it was $4.6 billion in China to build their theme park.
Mm-hmm.
The direction I'm going with this is China will not allow same-sex marriage. They will not recognize, same-sex marriage, nor will they support it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but here in the United States, again, ABC and the other trash Trump networks, you know, will support all these things that we as Americans truly stand against.
I agree with you, David. I agree with you 100%. And that's just another one of those examples that, you know, these people don't, they say that these are, you know, values and things for them. That's not true. You know, because you have people like PayPal, and we talked about this here in the AFR a whole lot, that they sought to descend and rain fury down on North Carolina for simply saying that if you're a man, go to the man's restroom. Stop all this foolishness. And so they wanted to descend on North Carolina with full force and fury while they have headquarters in Singapore and other places where they not only don't accept same-sex marriage, that they cane them and flagellate them publicly, you know, for violations of their criminal code that they call homosexuality. So it's just, it's rank hypocrisy on display for all the world to see if we are willing to take notice. But what often happens in our country, because of the ingress into our society of cultural Marxism, that our society basically is divided up into the various corners, no pun intended, the Hamilton corner. And from there, we tend to stand and joust, you know. So it's tremendously unfortunate. Back to the phone lines we go. The great state of Texas, where another Kevin is on the line. Thank you, Kevin, for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Abe? I love your show, man.
Oh, thank you, brother.
I just want to give everybody something to think about, right? So I was thinking, like, maybe Roseanne, you know, we already knew she wasn't a conservative, right?
Right.
So maybe the whole thing was set up from the beginning. Right. She built this big conservative fan base, get on board with Trump. Now, I mean, the lady's not stupid. Why would you put something out like that and not get a backlash? Right. Mm. So I'm thinking we got to play chess here, not checkers. The whole thing was set up from the beginning so they could fire and make this big, see, she's a Trump supporter and look how they think type of thing.
Kevin, that is, you know, I don't want to talk conspiratorially, but that you may have a point. You may have a point because I see the efforts employed to recast conservatism in a Roseanne-like light. If you notice, all of the Talking Snake coverage refers to Roseanne as a conservative and Trump supporter. That's the way that they are attempting to describe her. And so by tagging her with that description, they then seek to tag the entirety of conservatism by saying, see, this is what conservatives are, which is why I warned from the beginning, you may want to pump your brakes on this. And I get it. I know the human tendency. When you feel like your views and ideas are pummeled in public so often, you feel like, oh, man, finally. You know, but I would just encourage us all to dig a little deeper, you know, and to not be so quick. And we see this happen in the church as well, to want to have some type of celebrity carry the flag for what you believe in. But you carry your own flag. You know, I'm not looking to have, you know, some new, you know, celebrity say, oh, you know, Jesus met me last night on my tour bus. And now I'm like, yeah, man, you see, you know, superstar so-and-so is a Christian now. Ah, the Bible says lay hands on no man suddenly. What I'm going to do, if somebody makes a Christian profession, what I'm going to do is fall back and evaluate fruit. Just like I do in my own life and in my small groups and small relationships. We should know by now that because of the entrenchment of regressive ideology in many of these political levers of cultural influence, they are not going to celebrate your view. I mean, there was something in the Bible that said something about peculiar, you know, people. Jesus saying that, you know, be careful when all men speak well of you. You know, whenever your views as a Christ follower become mainstream, you may want to pump your brakes a little, but what's going on here? Because Jesus said they hated me, so how are they going to love you? All I'm saying is that I don't need a celebrity or a television show or a Hollywood Walk of Fame to validate what I believe. Man, I know who I am. Christ over everything. And because of Christ, it informs my views on public policy. I believe the Imago Dei should be protected in all of its iterations because I believe in the God who installed the Imago Dei in humankind. I believe marriage is the exclusive union of one man and one woman in a lifelong committed union because the Lord defined it as so. It's Jesus over everything.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.